Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The final hour of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you, Merck. Be a part of the show, 844-326-3663. We are taking last calls. You got about a half an hour left to get your vote in. Which of the final four college football teams do you least want to see win the 2024-2025 College Football National Championship? Text your answer to 844-326-3663. And when you text it, text Lions, Longhorns, Irish, or Buckeyes. Text the name of the mascot, whatever you want to call it. Lions, Irish, Buckeyes, Longhorns. Text the name of the team you want to least see win the national championship. Who you hating on in this college football Final Four? Lions, Longhorns, Buckeyes, or Irish? Text who you want to least see the 2024-2025 national championship go to. And I'll let you know here in about 38 minutes from now who the upstate is hating on the most right now. I will tell you that as it stands at this moment in time, it has been primarily the Longhorns. But since we last checked in right now, 40% of the vote is Ohio State, 30% to Texas, 20% to Notre Dame, and 10% to Penn State. So right now, based on the votes we've gotten in so far, you can vote one time per poll. Right now, it is the Buckeyes that the upstate of South Carolina least wants to see win the national championship, to the shock of not Lonzo on this. Text Buckeyes, Irish, Longhorns, or Lions to 844-326-3663. We will tabulate the votes at the end of the radio program. All right. Got a couple of clips that I want to play for you here as we roll through the program. First off, this one was sent to us by our friend Tiger Pal Rachel, P1 of the show, P1 of the station. Lonzo, Tiger Pal Rachel sent out an order on the internet for a Xavier Leggett jersey this year. And when she received her jersey, she got a little Christmas card with it. She got one of these Xavier Leggett recorded Christmas cards. Now, it's not great sound because I had to kind of play with it a little bit. I regret saying that sentence. Here is what Xavier Leggett's card to Tiger Pal Rachel sounded like. I want to do Christmas again now. I want to run Christmas back. I think we should have an XL Christmas. From now on, it should be XLmas.
What does he, when he dresses Dollar Bill up as a reindeer, what does he do to make Dollar Bill look like a reindeer? That's what I want to know.
Well, he says he gives him a shiny nose.
Mm-hmm.
I assume he probably got like put some of them like fake antlers, the, you know, the kind that come on like a beret and then they have the antlers sticking off. Yeah, like put one of those on Dollar Bill. And he said, y'all can see me riding Dollar Bill into the end zone every time I score this year. From my stable to yours, Merry Christmas. That's phenomenal. Dollar Bill and XL Dude, the man's a national treasure.
Unfortunately, he and Dollar Bill only visited the end zone, what, like twice or something?
Oh, he got in a couple of times.
Did he?
He got in a few times.
Twice would be a couple of times.
I would also say that, let's see, let's pull up the final season stats for Xavier Leggett. He got in four times this year. Did it against the Saints, did it against the Broncos back in October, did it against the Falcons October, did it against the Bengals on the 29th. So four touchdowns, 497 receiving yards on 49 grabs, averaged over 10 yards a catch. I will say this.
A lot of drops, though.
A lot of drops for XL. But I'm not wigging out on it just yet. And I'm not going to wig out on it just yet because he's got that wrist injury. And he himself said about 5 weeks ago that injury needs surgery. He's like, it doesn't need surgery to where I can't play through it, but I will need surgery when the season is over. He's not going to say this. He didn't say it. He's not going to say it. The team's not going to say it. But it's a possibility. So I am going to lean on a little bit here. The possibility that some of those drops were because maybe XL did not have full mobility in his wrist, right? Like that, it's a theory. I don't have anything to back that up. You know what this is? 100,000% speculation with the raw and unbridled optimism that Xavier Leggett's going to be an absolute monster for this team next year. But can I tell you what my biggest fear is? Here's my biggest fear. My biggest fear is he's not. My biggest fear is he's a guy that's going to get you, you know, 500-600 yards. He's going to get you 4, 5, 6 touchdowns a year. And that's okay. There's a place for that in a Bryce Young offense. There's a place for that. There is a place for that consistent guy. Not a guy who's going to go off for a buck 10 and two tutties a game, but a guy that's going to go get you, you know, 50, 60 yards a game, maybe score every 2, 3 games. He's gonna break one. That's the guy. Here's my fear. That BY, who I think everyone, I was listening to Wire to Wire yesterday, and they were like, oh, you know, I'm out on Caleb Williams. And I was like, guys who were out on Caleb Williams are the same guys that were out on Bryce Young. My fear is that because those guys, even Diesel, cynical as he is, and also a pure lover, cynical as he is.
All right, that was a little creepy.
I told you earlier in the show, he's a lover.
It's still back to hour one, but it's still a little, you he's know, a people lover. Just tuning in going, what's that mean?
Diesel is the definition of a lover. If it snows this weekend, Diesel's the guy that's going to have like a horse sleigh ride lined up for his wife. All right, we need to all strive to be more like the absolute Casanova that Diesel is.
I mean, he's not going to take that Jeep out and haul people out the ditch.
No, Diesel's gonna go outside and he's gonna build a sleigh. And then he's going to go catch some reindeer, tame and train. Diesel's a Disney prince come to life is what he is, all right? Even he was cynical. And even he has come around on, hey, maybe there's something to this BY guy. Maybe this Bryce Young does got a little something, right? Here's my fear. My fear is that because Jalen Coker kind of started to come on a little bit at the end of the year, my fear is because you moved Adam Thielen back to the slot where I told you from the minute he showed up in Charlotte he needs to be playing, and because XL kind of became that guy that can be your, uh-oh, I'm in trouble, throw it to XL guy, here's my fear. My fear is that the Panthers don't go get a playmaker at wide receiver. This offseason, for the first offseason in a very long time, you should not have a difficult time convincing a playmaker to come to Carolina. Look, we found our run game. BY is dropping darts out here. We just got 32-year-old Adam Thielen broken out as a slot guy. You should be able to have your name in the conversation for every available wide receiver free agent. Go find a guy. And my biggest fear for the Carolina Panthers right now is that they look at BY's numbers in the second half of the season and they go, we're good. We're going all defense. It's my biggest fear that they look and they go, we're set at wide receiver. We got our guys. Look at what we did through the air last year. Let's go get all defensive players. And you need defensive players. You got to improve the defense. There ain't no doubt about it. A lot of what looked very negative about the Panther defense towards the end of the year, I will absolutely say, springs from the fact that they had the injury bug not bite them, like maul them. And that was a problem this year for the Carolina Panthers. So knowing that, they do need to improve the defense. They need to go get some defensive guys. There is no doubt about that. But my biggest fear is that because the wide receiver crew and Bryce Young found themselves connecting down the pipe, that Carolina does not go get what I think is arguably their number one need, which is a superstar wide receiver. A guy that BY can help break out, or a guy that can help break out BY. I think they've got to work on that. And if they look and they go, well, Jalen Coker's a dog. If they look at it and they go, Xavier Leggett can be that guy, that consistent, you know, we need 10 yards, get it to BY guy. If Carolina decides that they're set at wide receiver, especially considering down the stretch this year, I think we kind of got to the point a little bit where, you know, the Panthers were largely catching teams by surprise, right? Like, oh, they can do this now. They can do that now. If they decide to stay with what they have instead of making an improvement, I think teams will catch on next year. I don't think the numbers are going to continue to trend upwards, or at least not quite as sharply as they did during the back half of this year. They got to go get a wide receiver. They cannot rely on, and again, I hope I'm right about XL. I hope I'm right about Xavier Leggett. I hope that if he goes and he gets himself the wrist surgery, and he has full mobility and flexibility of that wrist next year, I hope that XL is an absolute monster next year. But if I'm Carolina, I can't lean on that. If I'm Carolina, I can't lean on that. I can't believe that that is the case. I can't assume and work on that being the reality. I need you in on whatever star wide receiver becomes a free agent. I don't know.
So you're not worried about edge rusher, because that's what I think they should go
after. No. I'm not saying this is the only need that they're going to have.
Because if there's an amazing edge rusher right there, I get that guy first.
I'm not against that. And for the record, let me be very clear about this. What I do not want to see is Carolina go get a bunch of wide receivers in the draft. Because I'll keep it a buck. There's like two wide receivers. Now, there may be a wide receiver available when the Panthers come on the draft. There may be a wide receiver that's available there. There's a couple of them in this draft that are very interesting. Carolina drafting at number 8. But, yeah, I'm looking for an edge rusher. I'm going to get Abdul Carter out of Penn State, who's an absolute stud. I want to put somebody on the outside of Derrick Brown and take some of the pressure off of that guy, especially because now Dave Canales has announced that Israel Evero is staying on board as the defensive coordinator. Talk about a guy whose head coaching prospects cooled off. But again, I think for what Evero was working with this year and what he had in terms of injuries this year, honestly, I think it's respectable. It wasn't good, but it was respectable. I think overall, I absolutely am still looking for an edge rusher. If in the draft at 8, I am taking one, especially if Abdul Carter is there. But I'm looking at free agency. Here's the problem you're going to bump into when you look at free agency. Here are the wide receivers that are available in free agency right now in terms of their valuation. Stephon Diggs, that guy's almost 32 years old. You got to pay him $22.5 million a year. T. Higgins from Cincinnati is the first name that pops up that I'm like, you got to be on this guy. 26 years old, average salary, about $21.8 million. I got to go get that guy. After that, listen to these names. Keenan Allen's going to be 33. Amari Cooper, 31. Chris Godwin, 29. Brandon Cooks, 32. Deontay Johnson, no. D-Hop is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. That guy's going to be over 33.5 years old. Mike Williams, over 31. Robert Woods, 33. Marquise Hollywood Brown is one of the younger guys available at the top of the list. He's 27. He'll be 28.5 when next season pops up. Darius Slayton, 28. KJ Osborne, 28. DeMarcus Robinson, 31. Nelson Aguilar, 31. Ashton Doolin, 28. DJ Chark, 29. Like, the problem is that I think Carolina is in their spot right now. The problem I think they find themselves in right now is that this is a team that still needs to be building towards the future. And if they need to be building towards the future, I don't know what the use of a 32-year-old wide receiver is. Like, you're going to get a good year out of him, maybe two. But is anybody, even with the improvement we've seen, any of you Panther fans calling Super Bowl or bust next year? I'm not there yet. And I have been, and I'm willing to say this, I have been the only Panther optimist maybe on the radio in the upstate at all.
Pretty sure that's safe to say.
Yeah. I was the only one who from week one of this year was like, you guys got to chill the hell out. This team's building something. Canales is cooking right now. And a lot of y'all were like, shut up, Rob. You're kissing the butt of a team. No, I'm not.
Still
it's a good team.
Still didn't lead to wins until the last one. I was very impressed with the last win, though.
Again, very easy as a Kansas City fan to say that the only thing that matters is dubs because you're at the top. There is no up to work towards. Everybody else has up to work towards.
I've done 1,000 times. The Panthers are my NFC team. I want them to win. I want them to do well. Wins are very important. They improved, but they didn't finish till this last game when they actually finished.
Correct, but you
learning how to finish, that one little step can get you a bunch of victories next year.
Winning is something that you have to work towards. Winning is something that you have to work towards. You don't just wake up and go, oh, this is the thing, and now we win. It's something you work towards. It's a progression. Go back to your days before Patty Mahomes took over. You guys had to trend upwards before you went, okay, now we win 15 games a year. Like, you had to trend upwards towards that. So, to me, I wasn't looking for the dubs and the L's. I was looking for the trending, and the trend was up. But the spot that I'm at now, like I said, is you're still 2 years away. And if you're still at least at like one more progression season before I go, okay, now you go compete to win the division. I mean, maybe you win the division next year. I think the Bucs are falling off next year.
I was going to say, you can't be 2 years away for the division. You've got to compete for the division next year.
Yeah, and I think I'm more looking at it.
You competed for like a year or so ago because you only need, what, 8 wins half the time to win the whole thing? So
I think I was more looking at it not from the standpoint of compete for the division. I was saying, like, compete, like, for Lombardi. Like, go compete. And if that is the case, I think you got to get a wide receiver next year to pair with Bryce, to have a year of chemistry building, to have a year of timing, et cetera, that can then be ready in 2026 for an actual run. And none of those guys that are in their early 30s are that. There's one guy right now that I would say you go all on him, and it's T. Higgins at 25. That's the guy.
I agree with T. Higgins. I also think they should try their best to bring Thielen back if they can.
I'd be fine with bringing Thielen back if you can keep him in the slot.
Because the one thing he does, he is so dynamic when he throws him the ball. I mean, his catches are amazing for his age, and he can help that receiver room being in there another year.
I'm fine with Thielen coming back for one more year. The guy can still put up numbers. Texter said, Rob, how do you feel about Tyreek Hill coming over? Honestly, here's the thing. I think Tyreek Hill helps your offense next year. Your problem is, does he help your offense in 2026? I don't care about the quitting thing. I don't care about the look, Tyreek Hill's in it for the money. There's no doubt about that. He goes down to Miami, leaves Kansas City. Kansas City made him an offer that was going to make him one of the highest paid wide receivers. And he went, no, I want to be V.
I do believe he said he didn't like losing. So
he's
probably going to go to a front runner if he goes anywhere.
Absolutely. So even if Tyreek wanted to come to Charlotte, which I don't think he's going to.
He's
going to
end up in somewhere like Buffalo or Cincinnati if T. Higgins leaves.
I don't disagree. Here's what I would say. What I would say is Tyreek would actually be an incredible fit in Charlotte. You know why? Because BY drops darts down the field. You saw that at the end of the year. BY can drop deep pass darts. Who's more of a deep pass dart guy than Tyreek Hill? What's a better spot than sending Reek? Yo, head on down. Just sprint, dog. We're going to have BY drop one right in the bucket. Go get it for him, right? He would be a great fit. And I would, if you want him, if I'm Carolina, I'm selling that to him as, dude, I'm going to get you 1,400 yards of offense next year. I'm going to get you 1,400 yards. You're going to get in the end zone a bunch. And we believe that if we do that, you can win the division next year.
I think Tyreek has dropped off a little. That may be part of the problem is him.
I think he has dropped off a little bit. I still think he's one of the fastest guys in the league, and I still think he's a great player.
Maybe, possibly, he could have been hyped a little because of the team he played on, and then he went somewhere else and wasn't nearly as good.
I put that on Tua. I don't believe in Tua Tagovailoa at all. I don't believe in Tua Tagovailoa. I think Tua's fine. I think, look, when he got sent down there and he said Tua Tagovailoa is the most accurate quarterback in the National Football League, which was silly. We all know. Of course he's going to say that. That's his new quarterback. Bryce Young might be the most accurate quarterback in the National Football League. I'm not exaggerating. I mean that. All right, we'll talk more about it. The Rob Brown Show, The Fan Upstate.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on the radio. It's The Fan Upstate. Rob Brown. And they're great when Lonzo. Yeah, what do you want? I'm struggling over here. The great when Lonzo. You got about 10 more minutes to get your votes in. Which team remaining in the college football playoffs do you least want to see win the national championship? Text your answer. Lions, Longhorns, Buckeyes, or Irish to 844-326-3663. Lions, Longhorns, Irish, or Buckeyes to 844-326-3663. You got about 10 minutes left to get your votes in before we tabulate and find out exactly who the upstate is hating on the most. Text 844-326-3663. Text Lions, Longhorns, Buckeyes, or Irish to tell me who it is that you do not want to see win the national championship the most. All right, couple more things I wanted to get to. I played this clip earlier in the show, but I wanted to break it down a little bit more. This is a host on 1010XL down in Jacksonville, Florida, named Hayes Carleon. I'm assuming that's how you say it, C-A-R-L-Y-O-N. Hayes Carleon. It's dramatic. I like it.
You mean from the Corleone family?
No, that's Corleone. Okay. This is Carleone.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, he had a thought on Bill Belichick. So he says he does not think that the hoodie is actually going to coach a single game for the UNC Chapel Hill Tar Heels, which is interesting because I was listening to Wire to Wire last night, and Cole Bryson said he thinks that Bill Belichick may be the trigger. He thinks Bill Belichick may be the trigger that brings the ACC back into national relevance. He said, look, if Bill Belichick goes to UNC and Bill Belichick starts to utilize the exponential growth in NIL money that came into Chapel Hill after he signed on, and B, his ability to look at recruits and transfer portal players that want to get to the NFL and say, who the hell's going to get you more NFL ready than the greatest NFL coach in the history of the NFL? Why would you not? Right? Why wouldn't you go there? And the belief from Cole Bryson is Bill Belichick takes UNC, he elevates them up to conference contender status, and it elevates the conference as a whole. The conference starts getting more attention, more recruit, yada, yada, yada. I don't know if that happens or not. I don't believe it does. I don't think Belichick's going to be all that great or successful as a coach unless he does a wonderful job building out his staff around him to do the recruiting for him, et cetera, et cetera.
See, I think everyone is... So the thought of recruiting is kind of archaic because it's not that way. It's free agency now.
No.
He's going to build through the portal. He will have some coaches on to do some recruiting because you got to do some of that. But for the most part, he's going to build through the portal. He's already talked about the model and how everything is set up. You watch. He will not have to go into anyone's house. He won't. He will look at the portal. He will find out what the talent is. He will bring those guys in and he will coach them.
So, number one, you cannot build out your team just via the portal. You can't do it. There's not that many guys in there.
Deion Sanders?
Deion Sanders did not build his team out exclusively through the portal.
How many did he send out?
31 when he got there.
Right.
Which, how many guys are on a college football roster? 100?
I think it varies depending on school.
About 100 on average. Some go more, some go less. Now, that might change. Here's what I will say. I think Hoodie better get some guys around him. But here's the part that Hayes Carleon forgets. Bill Belichick had 3 NFL teams already talk to him, and all 3 decided to pass. The Atlanta Falcons passed it on him for Raheem Morris, a guy who was already the head coach in Atlanta once and failed. Failed. He had 3 teams pass on him. The problem is... And this is why I don't think he'll succeed in college. The problem is the Bill Belichick's way of coaching is archaic and it does not work anymore. It goes out of style fast. It went out of style. That's why 3 NFL teams, including the Falcons and the Jets, for God's sake, said, no, we're good. We'll keep Robert Saleh before we hire Bill Belichick. You understand what that says? And if the NFL, the only place he's ever been, doesn't want him, how the hell do you think he's going to succeed in college? Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got some more stuff to get to before we wrap up the show. Rob, Lonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. Rolling through the final segment of the show here on a Wednesday afternoon. Last call for votes is right now, 844-326-3663. Text Longhorns, Irish, Buckeyes, or Lions. And let's go see who it is that the Upstate is hating on as we head into the college football playoff Final Four. The voting is now officially closed. Lonzo, here are the results. Last, the team that the Upstate of South Carolina is least looking forward to winning. 9% of the votes for the Penn State Nittany Lions. Third place, the team that is the third least appreciated team in this Final Four, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The team that the Upstate least wants to see win the national championship game. And there was a late push for this team to put them at double the number of votes as the second place team. Lonzo, I'm sorry to tell you, the Upstate hates the Buckeyes. Ohio State grabbed, when it was all said and done, 48% of the votes in our poll.
Why are you sorry to tell me? I told you at the beginning of the show that was going to happen. I mean, come on, dude.
I mean, that's...
I want to know why. Ask them why. Oh, it was fans. Really? Really? How many Ohio people do you know? I think we all know why. I think we all definitely know why, and that's fine. I mean, you know.
It's not particularly close. So since we have a minute or two here before we get to what the X is going on, allow me to then ask y'all why. I gave my thoughts earlier. On each of the four teams. It's because Texas fans are like mildly annoying with the we back stuff. But for me, it's number one, I don't need another year of that's because we the SEC, Paul! I don't need it in my life. I don't want it in my life. For Notre Dame, it's because there's not much more that is as gratifying to me as seeing people who are unjustifiably arrogant or obnoxious or over the top getting their comeuppance. I appreciate that. Notre Dame fans, while I will say, are some of the nicest people I've ever been around. I went to South Bend, Indiana back in 2011 or so for a game, and I'm going to tell you, is the nicest group of fans I've ever been around. They were phenomenal. But by goodness, are they elitist. They're arrogant. They're obnoxious. It's over the top. Not obnoxious in terms of like loud, rude, vulgar, whatever. Obnoxious in terms of like, you see why we're the best, Rob? You see how we do all the things better than everybody else does any of the things? You see? You see how we're so good at this? We're the best at this. Touchdown, Jesus! We're the best! Right? Like that's Notre Dame for Ohio State. And I do wonder if this is what came into play for you guys. Shoot your text to 844-326-3663 if you voted for the Buckeyes, and let me know why. But the what I call chronically online college football fans, you know what that phrase means? Like people who just like their interaction with society is exclusively online.
Yeah, that's exclusively.
I'll go Buckeyes. I like Buckeyes. Because it's a nut. And it's a football team. And they don't exclusively. Okay. That's enough of that. Buckeye fans, chronically online Buckeye fans are the most annoying fan base on Twitter. They just are. Just everything circles back around to being about them. And on top of that, I really have this weird spot because I kind of want Ohio State to win the Natty. Because I may or may not have. When the conversation started preseason, when the conversation started specifically after Michigan beat Ohio State in the regular season finale, I may or may not have gone through and bookmarked and saved a bunch of tweets from a bunch of morons calling for Ryan Day to be fired. Okay? I may or may not have saved receipts. I may or may not have a bunch of people that I saved their tweets just in case Ryan Day wins a Natty to be able to quote tweet and dunk like Zion Williamson on a breakaway when he's healthy. I'm all in for that. But the answer for me is Penn State. The answer for me is Penn State, the Nittany Lions. And I'll tell you why. It is also fan-related. It is fan-related because when the Joe Paterno stuff broke, college football tried its best to give Penn State fans an out. When the Jerry Sandusky story broke, college football did its best to give Penn State fans an out. We tried to say, oh, turns out just a bad guy. Maybe just wipe him from the record books and we'll pretend this never happened. They said, no. He's still the GOAT. He's still the GOAT. We said, hey, maybe just like paint somebody else over his face on that big mural in downtown Happy Valley. And they were like, no, that's our Joe Pa. That's our grandpa. That's our football grandpa. He's not going anywhere. We said, hey, maybe next year, maybe don't have a big Joe Pa love fest at your home game opener. And they went, yeah, it's Joe Pa Day. We're doing a Joe Pa Day. Absolutely Joe Pa Day. College football tried to hand Penn State out after out after out after out to separate themselves from Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky. And they went, no, we don't care about all the evil, awful, gross, disgusting, vulgar things that happen. Joe Pa won a bunch of football games and we're going to celebrate that. And it's like, not great, Pop. Not a great look. Penn State, Nittany Lions, not a great look. That's why, and I don't vote in these polls because I don't want to unbalance them. I'll vote in our Twitter polls because they get a lot. I won't vote in these polls. That's why I voted Penn State, because their fans were offered an out from the Joe Pa stuff. They were offered an out from the Jerry Sandusky stuff, and they decided not to take it. They decided, no, we know what happened. A full wholesale investigation happened. We know we have the evidence. We have the proof. And yet with all of those things, we are still going to have Joe Pa Day. We're going to leave his mural up. We're going to keep the statue up. College football went, yo, if you take all that down, we will say, oh, it's not Penn State's fault. If you will take all that down, we will say, oh, they didn't know. And they booted the guy and erased them from history the minute they found out. But you didn't do that. You embraced them further. It's one thing to stay a heel fan when the heel has a point. It's another thing to stay the heel fan when the heel's like, you know, Joe Paterno. I don't know. I just have a problem with it. So Penn State's my answer, but the upstate of South Carolina hath spoken. Nearly half of you want the Buckeyes to win the Natty less than anybody else in this college Final Four. James said it's like a battle royale of nothing but heels. I will say this. At least from the perspective I got Saturday in the doing the national show, it definitely feels like there's no Team America in this, right? Like sometimes you get to the four and there's like one team that America gravitates to. There's a Cinderella, or there's a team nobody expected to be there. There's a team that's got that one guy everybody loves or whatever. There's always a team that kind of adopts the mantle of America's team in the playoffs. In this Final Four, there does not seem to be a team that America is on board with.
Why not four underdogs, four teams that didn't win their championships? If there was a 14 playoff, none of these four would be in the playoffs.
Nobody cares about the conference championships.
Yeah, well, anyway. I think the people who are in them care.
Nobody cares about them.
You also tell a Clemson fan that the ACC championship meant nothing.
It only meant they got in. Did it matter to Oregon? Hell, if anything, it made it harder for Oregon to win the Natty. Made it harder for him to win the Natty. What about Georgia? Made it harder for them, arguably, to win. I don't think anybody cares anymore, but we'll see. We talked with Denton Day about that earlier. That podcast will go up after the show's over. After the show's over is after we do this. I don't know why I set that up. We never set it up.
I don't know either. In 4 years of us together? Yeah, but that's fine. The first thing that's Xing is California.
California is Xing because California is burning right now. There are wildfires, dangerous, bad, scary wildfires outside of Pasadena. Late last night, authorities issued full out wholesale evacuation orders of Pasadena, which I believe is the first time in a very long time that has had to happen. But I will say this, however you feel about California, however you feel about politics, however you feel about all that, I would say, man, this story, this situation is tragic. At some point, we will be asked to mobilize to help, and I hope that we will mobilize to help the people of California the same way that the people of America mobilized to help us after Hurricane Helene. We are all in this country together. We can disagree on politics. We can disagree on philosophy. That's all well and good. People are losing their homes and their lives. So when we are called upon to ask, to act, to help, please let's do that.
All right. The next thing that's Xing is T'Challa.
So I saw this, I think this morning, but there is a rumor floating around that Marvel is now prepared to recast the role of T'Challa, a.k.a. the Black Panther. They rolled out, obviously, the Black Panther movie, but they turned the focus, obviously, over to Shuri taking up the mantle of the Black Panther. And if I recall correctly, it, like, box office wise, it didn't go great. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. Yeah, wasn't great.
Yeah, I hate it because what they did to Shuri. But that's
what do you
my
mean
opinion.
What they did to her?
Because they turned her into something that she wasn't and took her from being the lighthearted, the joy of the show, and then made her kind of dismal.
Yeah, her brother just died.
Yeah, but still, some people find
my brother's dead. Here's a hokey pokey joke.
Some people, if humor is part of their lives, they'll find a way to bring that to light still.
Yeah, but not everybody is. I'm the happiest Giorgio person you know. I broke my hand punching walls when my dad died. I was miserable for 6 months.
I get that. And you and I have actually had this argument before.
I know.
But I guess you forgot it. But still.
No, I'm ignoring it. It's a bad argument.
It's not. T'Challa, speaking of the second movie, at the end, T'Challa had a son.
He did have a son.
His son's name was T'Challa. Do you remember when the last one happened? When part two came out? What year?
Oh, I don't.
And how old the kid was?
I don't.
I'm guessing they cast that kid grown up. And that's what I think they do.
That is certainly a possibility.
And by the way, that would be a recasting because it won't be the same actor that the kid was.
But you also, I think we also have to keep in mind at this spot that, you know, there's also the opportunity here. We have opened the MCU multiverse. At this point, we know that there are going to be different iterations of different characters, variants from all different levels. There's also that on the table. I don't know. Honestly, just do a good job, whatever you do. My money's
on the kid is 18 or something, and now he's...
That's fair.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Elvis.
Oh, yeah, baby, it is the birthday of the king.
You know, I haven't been to Graceland yet, and I got told... I've been told it's a lot
smaller than what people think, but, I mean, you know, being rich at that time... And being
I've just
rich
seen,
now,
like, video
just,
tours of it in some of the rooms, and I'm like, I'd do that. That kind of looks awesome.
You just want to be walking in Memphis.
Listen, the king knows fashion.
Elvis is now, he's 90 years old.
Elvis Presley. I'm going to tell you this. I grew up on Elvis. I still love Elvis Presley.
He ain't dead. He's 90.
I grew up on Elvis. There was a girl in college, hilariously named Courtney, as a matter of fact, girl in college that I was friends with she grew up in the South, big Elvis person. And our hangout night was, we never dated. We just listened to Elvis. One day I was like, should we date? And she's like, no, because I don't want to ruin Elvis night. And I was like, that's great. Good enough for me. I freaking love Elvis Presley. That's all I'm going to listen to the rest of the day.
All right. The final thing that's Xing is Winter Storm Watch.
Go get your milk and bread, everybody. Because we're going to get an inch of snow on Friday.
Hustle to the store
I would
right
say this,
now.
Jokes aside, I did hear Chris Justice yesterday say, and I quote, prepare for a big one. And I was like, attaboy, Chris. Attaboy, Chris. You know what you did there. It's pretty funny.
I accidentally blocked him from getting on the stage at the Star Awards. My daughter will not let me.
Chris Justice is awesome. I love that dude.
Go around me, dude.
He's the best. Yeah. Get ready. We might be snowed in on Saturday. We'll find out. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better, on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!